Battle Against Free Digital Content Takes Gloss Off Magazines, written by Matthew Garahan and Shannon Bond on the 6th of October 2017. Read by Michael Bott for Curio.io. When S.I. Newhouse died this week at the age of 89, the page turned on a golden era in publishing. More than anyone else, the shy billionaire owner of Condé Nast forged the modern glossy magazine with its flair for portraying the luxury lifestyles of the rich and famous. He turned titles such as Vogue, Vanity Fair, and the highbrow New Yorker into international brands, renowned as much for the quality of their journalism as their reader loyalty and commercial success. But times have changed in the magazine world, and even the most prestigious titles are being challenged by the never-ending penetration of the internet and its abundance of free news and entertainment. With circulation and advertising revenues under pressure on both sides of the Atlantic, the death of Newhouse, just a week after the passing of another publishing icon, Playboy founder Hugh Hefner, comes as magazines face an increasingly uncertain future. Few titles have been spared the downturn, which has led some publishers, Jan Wenner among them, to think the unthinkable. The founder of Rolling Stone, the rock and roll magazine that embodied the freewheeling, no-holds-barred journalism of writers like Hunter S. Thompson, is selling the title, conceding defeat after 50 years in charge. He told the New York Times recently that publishing is a completely different industry than what it was. In the UK, the portfolio of Time Incorporated titles that includes the formerly zeitgeist-shaping New Musical Express and family staple TV Times is also on the block, part of what the company called a strategic transformation program, triggered in part by successive years of shrinking revenues. The sense of an era ending has been amplified by a changing of the guard at the top of some of the industry's most revered titles. Graydon Carter is stepping down as Vanity Fair editor after 25 years in charge. Nancy Gibbs, his counterpart at Time magazine, is also departing after a three-decade career. Across the industry, the omens are bleak. PwC forecasts that print advertising revenue for consumer magazines will fall to $6.7 billion in the US by 2021, less than half the $13.6 billion magazines took in 2012. Print circulation sales are projected to drop 23% to $6.1 billion over the same period. The UK will see a 49% drop in print ad revenue to $474 million and a 37% fall in circulation to $1.3 billion. Magna Global, a media buying agency, expects magazines' global advertising revenues to fall 13% this year, while Ender's Analysis, a media research group, has warned that the consumer magazine market was reaching an existential threshold. The industry is shrinking, says Douglas McCabe, Ender's chief executive. The decline seems to be accelerating both in circulation and in advertising, for print and online. Their backs to the wall, publishers are trying a range of measures to stop the slump and return to growth. At Time Incorporated, the 94-year-old company founded by Henry Luce, that owns Time, People magazine, and Sports Illustrated, no idea seems to be off limits. It has launched a subscription service for pet owners and rewards program offering discounts on retailers and restaurants. Jen Wong, Time Incorporated's chief operating officer, says she sees a substantial opportunity to sell products beyond magazines to its 30 million subscribers. Others are capitalizing on their brands by taking them into new areas. Condé Nast International has launched a fashion college in London, as well as Vogue cafes in Moscow and Dubai, and a GQ bar in Berlin. This week, its US cousins staged the Vanity Fair New Establishment Summit, backed by its sponsors such as HBO and Dom Perignon, and featuring figures from media and technology, with tickets costing $6,500 each for the Beverly Hills event. We do so many more things with our brands now. Events, films, festivals, restaurants. There are so many different channels, says Albert Reed, Managing Director of Condé Nast Britain. From my perspective, it's odd to hear predictions of the demise of magazines when, if correctly managed, they are simply evolving into more complex organisms with audiences that have actually never been bigger. Whether these new initiatives can one day replace the revenues of the magazines in their print heyday is an open question. Tina Brown, the former editor of Vanity Fair and The New Yorker, does not think they can. This year, she will publish her diaries, spanning her years as Vanity Fair editor from 1983 to 1992, a time that she says was a golden era, one that has conclusively ended. Editors could do their best work supported by a company with means and purpose and an owner who gave them independence and a budget, she told the FT. That is now unheard of. The internet torpedoed the entire business model, she adds, pointing to the month in 1991 when she put a picture of a heavily pregnant Demi Moore on the cover of Vanity Fair. Our sales went from 800,000 to 1 million, where they stayed. She compares the publicity from that shoot to the exclusive first picture of the transgender Caitlyn Jenner on the Vanity Fair cover in 2015. While the Jenner pictures were much discussed, it didn't have the same impact on the newsstand because people were able to look at them online. Despite an uncertain environment, magazine owners are not giving up on selling advertising space to brands. A group of US publishers joined forces this week in an ad campaign promoting magazines as a trusted source of content for advertisers and readers at a time of concerns over brand safety and disinformation in online media. This is our moment in time because everything that marketers need to be effective in this age of confusion about media companies and what they represent and who you can trust, it all points back to magazine media, says Linda Thomas Brooks, President and Chief Executive Officer of the Association of Magazine Media, the New York-based industry group behind the effort. She cited Procter & Gamble, the consumer goods group behind Gillette razors and Head & Shoulders shampoo, which said it saw no impact on sales after cutting $100 million in digital marketing spending earlier this year. What does that tell you about the efficacy of what they're doing? It's not going to rewind the world to 15 or 20 years ago, but we do hear advertisers saying they're looking to spend more in print, Ms. Brooks says. For all the industry's woes, magazines continue to attract and retain talent. A string of top names has been linked with the Vanity Fair editor's chair, one of US journalism's most prized jobs, which will soon be vacated by Mr. Carter. Names under consideration include Geordie Gregg, editor of The Mail on Sunday, Dylan Jones, editor of British GQ, and Jay Fielden, editor of Esquire US, according to people close to the process. Longer term, magazine publishers still have to work out what to do about the internet, according to Mr. McCabe. The way print advertising always worked was advertisers would pay for a magazine's audience, but also for the environment and the context, he says. But online, magazines have nothing like the same context and resonance, because a reader might stumble across an article on Facebook or Twitter and then immediately go somewhere else. Publishers, he says, have been chasing a myth about digital advertising. In print, they might have 100,000 readers, while online they can get 10 million. But that's irrelevant, because the 100,000 are the right 100,000, and more valuable. Online advertising rates continue to lag print rates at their peak, so in chasing large online readerships, magazines have diluted the very essence of their brand. They have lost sight of what audience targeting really means. Yet the rush out of print and into digital shows no sign of slowing. Condé Nast Britain announced yesterday that it was cutting the print run of Glamour UK from a monthly edition to only two a year, repositioning itself as a digital-first beauty brand. This follows Teen Vogue, which is owned by Condé Nast in the US. 2 years ago, it scaled back its print distribution to focus on digital publishing. The company said it was now more widely read, hitting 9.2 million users in April, but declined to comment on its financial performance. There are other implications to the ending of the golden age of magazines. The best publishers used to occupy a role in society, with the likes of Mr. Wenner and Mr. Newhouse, who ran Condé Nast for 40 years, taking risks because they believed in their title's content. There was a warmth and a passion there, and they created things that people loved. Think about the generation of journalists that was influenced by Rolling Stone, says Ken Doctor, analyst with Newsnomics. But when you consider where the big figures in society are coming from today, it's from technology companies. The likes of Sergey Brin from Google and Facebook's Mark Zuckerberg, they have replaced the Newhouses and Wenners. With online platforms enabling the spread of fake news, it is a change that he says is not necessarily for the better. It's a technocratic and colder connection. Yet the balance of power between technology and media has shifted irrevocably. For magazine publishers, the question, as one era comes to an end, is how long they will survive the next one. That was Battle Against Free Digital Content Takes Gloss Off Magazines, written by Matthew Garraham and Shannon Bond on the 6th of October, 2017.